Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've already announced, and you've seen in the bulletin, that today is Stewardship Sunday. Yippee Skippy. You get to listen to another sermon about money and why you should give to the church. Perhaps you're thinking, what could be worse than sitting in this pew listening to a sermon about Christian giving? And I have an easy answer for that, having to stand in this pulpit and preach a sermon about money. Many pastors, and I would include myself, really dread this subject when it comes up each year. Preaching on the subject of Christian giving, roughly in my estimation, compares to talking to your children about sex. It's in that conversation with your children, it makes you uncomfortable in the same way that it makes me uncomfortable as a minister of the gospel to talk to you about money and giving. After all, I am a servant of God sent into your midst to preach Christ. I'm not some snake oil salesman trying to separate you from your cash, or a pickpocket trying to lift your wallet. And yet, even though we preach on this subject pretty rarely around here, I always feel sort of dirty when I have to preach a stewardship sermon. I guess my first thought might be your first thought, and that is the church should all be about faith and forgiveness in Christ and not money. And I would completely agree. Unfortunately, the reality is that it takes money to fund the preaching of the gospel. And if you were to stop giving, I would tell you that the preaching and the teaching of faith and forgiveness in Christ here at St. John's Lutheran Church and School would certainly suffer. We've all heard it said that the love of money is the root of all evil. But I would tell you that when we Christians use our money to support the ministry of the gospel, money is no longer the enemy of faith, but money can become a great ally to Christ when your Christian offerings allow us to continue to share the saving message of the cross. But even with that said, another reason that I tend to shy away from this subject is that I know from the Bible that God is a giver, not a taker. And asking you to give makes God sound like a taker. The central theme of the Bible is not about your giving. It's about how your gracious and merciful God gave his only Son to die for your sins. And above and beyond that amazing sacrifice, God gives you even more. God gives you the faith to believe the message of the cross, as well as giving you forgiveness and new life and salvation. And these gifts are freely given through the gift of holy baptism. In fact, whether we're talking about earthly or spiritual blessings, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, the Bible says. Everything that you and I enjoy about this life. And so I guess I don't like to preach on the subject of stewardship because it's too easy to portray God as a taker. And that is not who our God is. The Lord is gracious and generous in our lives beyond belief. Christianity reveals that God who wanted to do for us, who wanted to die for us without any thought of what we can do for him. By the way, where does this word stewardship come from? In the ancient world, a steward was someone entrusted with the great responsibility of managing his master's possessions. A faithful steward knew how to use those resources wisely and make a profit for his master. And so the church has chosen that word to describe how we as Christians use what God has given and entrusted to us. You see, God wants us to use what he has given us. He wants us to use it for the good of the gospel and for the growth of his kingdom. Everything we have is from God and is for us to use and to enjoy. But just like the ancient steward, ultimately we are responsible to God for what we do with our lives and our money and all that he has given to us. I know that I have matured in my own understanding of stewardship over the years as God has matured my faith. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that in college and seminary, even though I was studying to be a pastor, Susan and I gave very little to the church, mainly loose change. Oh, I had a reason for that. I reasoned that I was paying for my education to become a pastor, and so I considered the cost of my tuition as my offering to God. I carried that attitude over into my first call. I reasoned I had four small children and a congregation that did not pay enough to support my family, and so again, my offerings were paltry, because they reflected my fearful and frustrated attitude towards that congregation. Later, when my kids were in college and they were all going into church work, it would have been so easy for me to reason in my mind that I was supporting Christ's kingdom by supporting them in college without increasing my offering to the church. But by this time, something had changed. God, I guess, had taught me that there was joy and satisfaction that comes to a Christian as we give and see giving as a part of Christian living. And so while I may wish to avoid the subject of stewardship from the pulpit because I find it a little embarrassing, Christian giving is no longer a subject that I evade in my own personal life. For I have noticed that as my faith has increased, my offerings for the work of the Lord in this congregation and outside this congregation have increased. God has brought me to the realization that the life I live and the money I give to the one who gave his very life for me. Again, everything we have and everything we are and all that we give belongs to God already. Christian stewardship is the realization of this fact. When my kids were very little, they would often make me gifts, but once in a while they came to me and they would ask me for money so that they could go out and buy me a gift. And I always thought it was so cute. Not only that they wanted to buy something for their dad, but that they were so innocent that it never even dawned on them that I was, in effect, purchasing my own gift because I was giving them the money that they were spending on me. In the same way, God does this for us as his children. He gives us all the financial resources that we give back to him. When we give our offering to St. John's, we're merely giving back to God a portion of what he has so generously already given us. We certainly need to stop thinking about stewardship in the guilt genre. God does not badger his people into giving, nor will he barter with sinners. Instead, God brings us along in our walk with Jesus until that day when we mature in our faith and begin to see that stewardship is an important part of the Christian life. So that whenever the offering plate is passed or any need to help our neighbor arises, what God is doing is giving us an opportunity to demonstrate our love and our loyalty to him. He's also giving us an opportunity to see for ourselves by our own Christian generosity that our faith is real and active and alive. So that even when we give to God, at the same time, we are receiving a gift from God. For whenever we Christians give, we imitate our God who is a giver and who above all gifts gave his son to die so that you and I might live. But with all that said, another thing that makes me a little squeamish on the subject of money are the many pseudo-church organizations, the many television preachers that are out there who use the gospel as a way to profit. Some of the most popular religious personalities of our day make a handsome and sizable living by soliciting money using the name of Christ. And they do great damage to the reputation of the true church because they exploit the gospel for financial gain. And there are a lot of people out there who can't discern between those false churches that merely seek to profit off of God and true churches that are faithful to the teachings of Christ. And so what they do is they lump us all together, and you've heard it. They say, oh, the church is only interested in our money. And so I'm a little squeamish because when I preach a stewardship sermon, I feel like I run the risk of reinforcing that false stereotype that so many people have about the church based on these pretenders. I guess it brings us to a question I've kind of been dancing around, and that question is, does asking for money have any place in the church? Is it ever appropriate to ask Christians to give for God's purposes? Or should we ban stewardship sermons? Do they have no legitimate place in the life of the church? Well, I don't know about stewardship sermons, but if you search the scriptures, you will discover that almost from day one, God asked his people for offerings. Gifts of monetary value were given to God as far back as Cain and Abel in our Old Testament lesson. We're told Cain worked the soil as a farmer, and Abel tended flocks as a shepherd. Cain brought some of the fruit of his fields to the Lord, while Abel brought the fattest and the fittest of his flock. And we're told that God looked upon Abel's offering with favor, but that he was not pleased with Cain's gift. And the question becomes, what made God prefer one gift over the other? Did God prefer lamb to fruit and vegetables? In the case of Cain's offering to God, did God need the fruit? Do you think God ate the fruit? Of course not. And in the case of Abel's offering, did God need the lambs? Did God eat the lambs? No. You see, God, by definition, has no needs that you and I can fulfill. After all, what can we give to God that does not already belong to him? Then why bring an offering to God if God doesn't need it? Many people who hear that God doesn't need our offerings use that as an excuse not to give. They reason, if God doesn't need it, why should I give it? So I ask, does God need our money? And the answer is kind of yes and no. Strictly speaking, no, God doesn't need our money. But yes, God does need to see through our offerings whether there is thankfulness and devotion to him as we give back to him through the church. That's why Abel's offering pleased God over Cain's. Cain just offered God what was left over. After he had profited from it, after it had provided all his wants and material needs, sort of his spare change. We might say that Cain offered God his disposable income. Abel, on the other hand, offered God the finest from his firstborn flock. In other words, God approved of his sacrifice because he could see that Abel put the Lord first in his life, and his offering demonstrated that fact. In the very same way, the quality of your outward offering, whether you like to think this or not, does reveal something about the quality of your inward relationship to God. There is some correlation between the size of our faith and the size of our offering. Now, that is not to say that whoever in this room gives the most money has the most faith. God knows our personal finances. He's able to account for all the variables in our life and in our income. God knows those who give little from an amassed wealth. And he knows those who give much out of extreme poverty. But whatever you choose to give, God wants you to give for the sake of the gospel, for the love you know from Jesus Christ, and not from fear. He wants our giving to be because we value Christ's redemptive sacrifice, which we heard today is of far more value than gold or silver. And God wants our giving to reflect the fact that we know we have been bought back to God with the blood of Christ, more valuable than anything in this world. As a loving and thankful response to his great sacrifice, God wants our giving to be sacrificial. And the only way it can be sacrificial is when you and I decide to go a little bit beyond and a little bit above what we think we can give. You see, the Lord wants our gifts to show that we trust him to take care of us. And the only way that can happen is when we remove that safety net of all that extra income. He wants the size of our offering to demonstrate the size of our trust in him. During this week, you're going to be receiving a packet from St. John's, and it's going to encourage you to bring your pledge offering next Sunday, which is Commitment Sunday, for the coming year. And we would ask you prayerfully to consider increasing your giving as you reflect upon God's grace and his goodness and his generosity, which is constantly at work in your lives. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please stand as we confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.